episode 201. How does your realtor get paid? In a business where paychecks only come from closings with clients who have just bought or sold a house, it's not uncommon for our clients to wonder where and how we get paid. Today, we discuss all of the intimate details as it pertains to when, where, and how realtors get paid. My name is Lou Lombardi. Now, here is your realtor who always gets paid, right? Mr. Jason Wilcox.
Yes.
I was gonna quote Goodfellas, but I realize this is a family show. So,
you know, I have something sad to admit. I've never seen Goodfellas,
which is what?
I know. And for as much as I'm into like the mafia shows, like I love the Sopranos. Yeah, I just never sat down taking the time to watch Goodfellas.
It's brilliant. So, you're really deprived. Being very serious. It's top to front back. Front to back. It's perfect. It's a perfect film.
I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it, so you know. And that's the thing. I've seen bits and pieces of that. I do need to clear out, you know, 36 hours of my life to watch The Godfather. Wait. How long are all four parts? Isn't it like 36 days or something?
It's not 36 days.
It takes to watch the movie or something like that.
It doesn't take 36 days to watch the movies, the stream movies.
Yeah,
I have them all on DVD. If you want, I'll loan them to you. They're brilliant.
Nice.
The first two are absolutely brilliant. I think that the third one gets too much guff. Like, here's the thing: lightning strikes right one time, and in this case, it struck twice. Yeah. I mean, it just knocked out of the park two times. It's unlikely you're going to be able to do that three times in a row.
Yeah.
And so the third movie, if it just alone as a movie, is a totally solid, very good movie. But when it's going to be called Godfather, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't, no matter what you did, it was never going to live up to the Godfather brand. It just wasn't going to. But I think it gets too much hate, in my opinion. But the first two, absolutely, you could never see the third one and be completely fine. But you got to see the first two. They're brilliant. They're 3 hours each or something like that. Not 36
hours. I watched part of, I think, the second one in college. I remember watching the second one in college. So, but it's been so long, I need to go back and watch it again. So.
Watch Goodfellas. Yeah, but I got watch Goodfellas.
Yeah, I gotta
it's
watch
got amazing,
Goodfellas.
Amazing soundtrack. You know, just the way he takes you through time. Like, you know, as you see things progress, it's really good.
Yeah, is Goodfellas the one with the infamous baseball bat scene? Or is that a different one?
Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. Maybe you're thinking, are you thinking of Goodfellas or are you thinking of
Casino?
Wait a minute, there's a casino scene. Yeah, you're thinking of Casino. You're thinking of Casino.
With Joe Pesci, where they take him out in the desert.
Yeah, okay. That's Casino. Goodfellas is the story of Henry Hill, who was brought into the mob as a very young man, as a teenager, and sort of his journey through becoming a narc eventually.
Gotcha.
So do that. That's your homework for next
week. Yes, I will get right on that. So now let's get back to talk about getting paid. Yeah. So this one is kind of an interesting conversation. I think we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but you know, the last couple of days I've reviewed some of the old episodes that we've done in the last month or so. And I was actually listening to the buyer agency one last night, you know, kind of on the heels of the lawsuit with the National Association of Realtors that's going on. And, you know, just trying to create some transparency and trying to just put out as much information as possible. I thought, you know what, we spent a lot of time talking about buyer agency. I think it's good that we talk a little bit about how realtors get paid so that there's a little bit more of a curtain that is pulled back on our business and our profession. Because I'm going to be honest, I just don't think it's in real life, it's what it's made out to be. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about how we get paid and how much we get paid and how much we're actually taking home. And so I just want to shed some light on some things just because I think they're good to know. You know, if at the end of the day, you still think that we're overpaid for the services that we offer, well, then, you know, that's okay. This is America. You're entitled to your wrong opinion. So I thought it would just be good for us, though, to just chat a little bit about kind of what the commission structure looks like with our profession. And yeah, just shed a light to kind of a conversation, topic conversation that's not had very often. So yeah, I think this will be a good one to have.
Okay, so realtors, that you aren't employed, like a sense that you get a paycheck from your
Correct.
From your brokerage. You are an independent contractor. You're a 1099 guy,
mm-hmm.
girl,
yep.
person.
So, yeah. So the very first thing that I like to stress when it comes to getting paid in real estate is this. We are independent contractors. We are 1099 workers. What does that mean? That means that unlike employees, we are not guaranteed a set salary. We are not guaranteed a set paycheck, you know, every week or every 2 weeks or twice a month or whatever your pay is as an employee. We are paid when we sell a house, period. End. That's how we get paid.
All right.
We get paid when we sell a house, when it closes, that's it. And so if you sell one house a month, you get one paycheck a month. If you sell 15 houses a month, you get 15 paychecks that month. And so, you know, and anywhere in between that, you get a paycheck every time you sell a house or, you know, if you get a house leased or, you know, a commercial space sold or leased. That's it. That's all. There's no base salary. There's no minimum wage. You know, this isn't a restaurant. You know, we're not paid us, you know, and I know it's small. I know it's minuscule, but like at least waiters and waitresses get a small base pay and then they work off the tips off that. Again, I know it's small, but they at least get that base pay. My understanding, excuse me, I believe is in some commissioned jobs, maybe like car salesmen, I don't know if that's true, where they may get a base pay and then they get a bonus on top of every car that they sell. We don't get that. Mm-hmm. We do not get that. We only get paid when we sell a house. And it's those 100% on us for our paychecks. We don't get any type of set salary. We have to do it all ourselves. And if you sell no houses in a month, which has happened to me before, you get no paycheck that month. And it's just as simple as that.
Wow.
And real quickly, for those of you who don't know what 1099 is, 1099 means that because we're not employees through our brokerages, we get our full commission check. And people go, oh, sweet. No, it's not. Because we still have to pay taxes. No one is exempt from paying taxes. You must pay our taxes. What that means is you have to be responsible enough to withhold the 30% of your paycheck. So let's say you sell a house and you get a $10,000 commission. You better be responsible enough to hold $3,000 back immediately for taxes, because come the end of the year, you bet your sweet bippy Uncle Sam is going to want that money. And if you don't have it, you saying, oh, I didn't save it, it's not going to be good enough. You are going to be in a lot of trouble if you don't set money aside to pay the tax man. So we have to be responsible for all of our own taxes, you know, taxation.
Absolutely.
We are responsible for making sure we hold that money. And if you sell a lot of houses, you owe a lot of money at the end of the year, and you better have that money set aside, or else you are very far up the creek without a paddle.
So, and what does your employing broker give you? Absolutely what?
Absolutely nothing. Sorry,
what?
I hit the mute button twice. Absolutely nothing.
That's crazy.
It reminds me of that old CCNR song, or not CCNR, I can't remember who done it. What it isn't good for? Absolutely nothing. And by the way, let me be very clear. When I say nothing, I don't mean nothing. We do get certain services and things available to us being affiliated with the brokerage we work with. I'm talking about in terms of the pay structure.
Correct.
We don't get anything. When I say nothing, I mean that we get no base pay. We receive no health benefits because we are not employees. We are independent contractors. So legally, they are not required to provide us with health insurance. I'm very privileged that my brokerage does offer some retirement planning and financial planning services if we want to take advantage of them.
And you can buy
we don't
but you have
to
but you have to buy into that though.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So we get no matching. Like, so for example, one of the things that Coldwell Banker wanted to do, as a way to kind of promote, better overall financial living, they did offer a service, for us through a financial planner that if we want, we can have money taken out of our, commission checks to be able to put towards, a SEP IRA. That's something they started because they were finding that many, many, many realtors and even some of the most successful ones making $500,000-$600,000 a year were not setting anything aside and had no money to retire on. So they recently started doing that. But again, it's only a service they offer. That they don't match anything. They don't contribute anything. It's just, hey, if it's there, great. We can get you signed up for it and we can have it automatically removed from your paycheck. But that's up to you if you want that done or not. And there are a lot of brokerages that don't. So if you want a retirement plan, that's got to be on you as well. So when we're talking about the financial side of it, no base pay, no health benefits, for many brokerages, no contributions to a retirement plan. You are 100% out on your own in that respect. Yes, there are other services they offer, but not when it comes to paychecks.
And so then, like, when do you get paid? How do you get, like, what do you, like, what are you doing?
So I get paid at the closing table. And that's the wildest thing in the world to think about. What does that mean in terms of a timeline? So let's say I'm working with Lou. Let's say Lou comes to me on April 17th and says, hey, Jace, I'm ready to buy a house. Can you help me buy a house? Absolutely, Lou. Great. Can we meet on next Tuesday for a buyer consultation? Absolutely. So we meet for a buyer consultation. I go through the beginning buyer paperwork. I get him set up on a email search through the multi-list. He gets pre-approved because I don't know if we've talked about that, but you need to be pre-approved as a buyer. In case I haven't mentioned that in the first 200 episodes, I will mention here on episode 201 that you need to be pre-approved. And then from there, we start looking. And let's say we look at, we'll say 38 different houses, because I think that's what Jamie mentioned on the last episode that we recorded. Let's say we look at 38 houses. Let's say we look at it over the course of maybe 6.5 weeks. You know, let's say we're going to look at maybe 3-4 houses a week. So we record, you know, we look at 38 houses. We finally make an offer. Let's say 6 weeks down the road. So that takes us to about Memorial Day. Let's say we make an offer. And let's say we take 45 days to close. So we're going to close somewhere around, you know, mid-June. So let's say, is my timeline on that? Yeah, about mid-June at that point, end of June. You know, we go through home inspections. We go through the appraisal process. The seller gets all the municipal requirements done. We do the final walkthroughs. We do everything. You know, we've toured the house. We made the offer. We've done it all. I finally, on, let's say, June 22nd, when that closes, that's when I get the commission check. That's when I get the commission check. I get the commission check at the closing table. I only get the commission check if I get you to the closing table. If that transaction blows up 2 days before closing, hasn't happened yet, but it's come close. Okay. I don't get the paycheck. I only get that paycheck if I'm sliding the keys to the house across the table to my client, or in this case, their proceeds check if they're the seller. That's when I get paid. So basically, I work from April 17th to the end of June with Lou without seeing a dime for any of my work until the closing table. And trust me, I have worked with sellers way longer than 3 months. That's actually on the very quick side. That's on the very, very quick side. I've had, oh, by the way, hold on. I'm sorry. No, 30 to 45 days close. I was wrong. My math was wrong. I knew something wasn't right. Okay. So if we go under contract at the end of May, 45 day close would be mid-July. So I would finally see a paycheck in July for the work I started doing in April. And 3 months turnaround time is a very, very, very quick turnaround time. In our brokerage, they talk about the 100-day plan. They talk about, on average, it takes you about 100 days to first meet with your client to get them through the whole process and actually get them to the closing table from start to finish. That's a little under 6 months. That's about 4 to 5 months it takes. That's how long you work up until that point. For free. You do not see that paycheck. And then at the end, you'll get one paycheck in one lump sum for all the work you did with that client for a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. That's when you finally get paid.
Wow. 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 So, my, and it's not in the notes. My question is, how the hell do you do that? So what does a realtor need to consider, when receiving that commission check?
Actually, hold on. I want to back up for 1 second because I skipped over something. I apologize. That's on me.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, that's on me. I apologize. Just to kind of a point of clarification, where does the money come from? How does the realtor actually get paid? So most of the time, and this is kind of what the National Association of Realtor lawsuit is about right now, but at least in standard practices, if a seller is offering a percentage price of their home,
okay,
out of their proceeds, let's say, and I'm just making up a number.
All right.
Let's say they're offering 2% as the sales price of their home to a buyer's agent for the work that they've done. Let's say it's a $300,000 house. 2% of $300,000 is $6,000.
Okay.
If that's what they're offering to the buyer's agent, you will get that as a check at closing. What will happen is the title company hired to handle the closing will make sure that everyone brings the money that they're supposed to bring to closing. So did the buyer bring their closing costs to the table, their cash to close to the table? Did the lender send over their loan to the title company? And then they make sure that the funds get dispersed. So if there's a home warranty that's being purchased for the property, they will send the check to the home warranty company to pay for the home warranty. If there's a mortgage or HELOC that the seller has to pay off, they'll send that payment to the lender to make sure that gets paid off. They will also make sure the seller gets their proceeds that they are rightfully entitled to. They will also make sure that the agents get paid. So the actual commission check will come from the title company. What they do, though, in the state of Pennsylvania, you cannot pay an agent. You have to pay a brokerage. So in my case, since I work for Coldwell Banker, my commission check is made out to the brokerage. I turn it into the brokerage, and then I turn around and get paid by my brokerage. My brokerage is awesome. I usually get paid within a day or two after closing, depending on what day of the week we close. But that's how it comes from. The actual physical check will come from the title company, but it'll come out of the seller's proceeds. So when you're looking at the settlement statement, you will see a debit of the realtor commission on the seller's side. Now, if there's any type of additional a commission, a broker fee, an admin fee, a brokerage fee, whatever, there's a million names for it, that maybe you're charging your buyer or your seller, that's up to you whether you're going to charge that, then that would come from the title company as well. Let's say I'm working with a buyer, I'm getting 2% from the seller, and then I have my brokerage fee. They'll debit the seller with the percentage. They'll debit the buyer with that admin fee, and then they'll give me my check. Some title companies will give me one lump sum, whatever that commission is, plus the brokerage fee. Sometimes I'll get two checks. It's one and the same. It doesn't matter. If I'm working with the seller, you know, and same thing, if there's a brokerage fee, you'll see one line item for the commission, the realtor commission as the percentage price, and then you'll see another line for the admin fee, but that'll all be on the settlement statement. And then the title company actually produces the check to my brokerage. I turn it in, and then my brokerage pays me.
Jeez. Ooh, that sounds complicated.
That's how it works. Crazy.
Okay. I'm not sure if we covered this or not, because you seem to really be diving in deep on these. What does a realtor need to consider when receiving the commission check? So you want to talk about I think we talked about paycheck and taxes and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So to kind of sort of review from an earlier bullet point, we are 1099, which means our brokerage does not, and notice I'm saying brokerage, I'm not saying employer, because I'm not an employee. The brokerage that I'm affiliated with, they do not hold anything back in taxes. You get the full gross amount. So what you have to consider is this: how are you going to divvy up your paycheck? At the very least, you need to make sure that you set money aside for taxes. I know for me, I set 30% aside. So you have to set aside money for taxes. Now, from there, you can pay yourself the rest. I do something a little bit differently. I had actually years ago, and I won't get into the nitty-gritty about this because this could be a whole nother podcast episode. I actually opened up an LLC, so I actually pay myself through the LLC, and because of so, I have a business checking account, and I actually can write off all of my expenses because I'm a business. So I actually I will leave so much money in for taxes. I will pay myself, and then I actually leave some in the business account for business expenses. So like any expenses related to my car, any meals that I'm having, any office supplies, things like that, I can actually pay it out of the business account. And then at the end of the year, when I'm procrastinating like I did this past year and putting all my expenses together for my taxes before that dreaded tax deadline of May 15th or April 15th, excuse me, at least they're all in, you know, one bank account. So for me, I divvy up my paycheck. I pay myself a portion of what I get, but I also set a portion aside for taxes, and then I leave some in my business account for business expenses. I do have a separate checking account with a separate bank for my personal stuff, so I can literally cut myself a check from the business side to the personal side to give myself a quote unquote paycheck, and then again, set aside some for taxes and set aside some for business expenses.
Again, it all sounds very complicated. So what does a typical commission check look like for you, Mr. Jason?
So it's very simple. Maybe not,
Okay.
but it's simple to
None of
me.
this has been simple so far, but go ahead.
Yeah. So when I get a paycheck, and again, let's go back to that 2%, $300,000 house. It's about a $6,000 paycheck. First, you have to remember, I don't get to keep 100% of that. I am not on a, I'm on a split with my brokerage. And you know, any brokerage you work for is going to have some type of split or some type of whatever that you have to pay back to the payback to the brokerage because you're affiliated with them and they have their own expenses and their own housekeeping that they've got to take care of. So you have to remember that out of that $6,000, I'm not going to get to keep all of that. I'm not. Sorry, I accidentally hit the mute button.
Yeah, I'm thinking that
I'm
there's
only.
something wrong with our connection, and just, please stop doing
No,
that.
yeah, I was scrolling over to
I'm
get my
having little panic
calculator.
attacks here. Like, oh
Yeah,
no, what's
no, sorry
going
about
on?
that. That's my fault. No, so let's do this. And I'm just making up numbers. This isn't my exact split, because I'm not legally allowed to discuss my split in public open forums. But let me just make it up. So let's say I get that 2%, $300,000, just to confirm, $300,000 times 0.2%, that's $6,000. Let's say I'm on a 70% split with my brokerage. 70% of the 6,000 is 4,200. So I'm
Okay.
actually only getting a check for 4,200. Now, I personally choose to contribute to a SEP IRA because I believe in retirement. I believe in making sure that there's going to be money for me as I get older. So I actually contribute 10% to my SEP IRA. So out of that 4,200, I'm already going to be down to 3,780 because they're going to take $420 out to put my SEP account. So I'm now down to a gross commission check of 3,780. Now, I personally, this is just me, I personally follow the 50-30-20 rule when I get a paycheck. So when I get a commission check, so 50% is what I pay myself. I give myself 50% of that commission check. I set aside 30% for taxes because again, you got to pay the tax man at the end of the year, and then 20% is what I keep back for business expenses. So you know, gas, food, you know, office supplies, things like that. So I'm paying myself a little bit more than 50% because some of my day-to-day expenses get taken out of the business account. Like I
Okay.
pay myself, but out of the business account is where I'll put gas in my car. So
Okay.
I do pay myself a little bit extra, but I only pay myself 30 or 50%. So out of 3,750 times that, I'm sorry, 3,780, that is 1,890. So out of a $6,000 paycheck, I'm only paying myself $1,800, $1,890, $1,890. That's it out of a $6,000 commission.
Okay.
So, people that want to complain that realtors make too much, it's not as much as you think it is. You know, by the time your brokerage gets their share, by the time your tax man gets their share, by the time you pay your own business expenses, because again, going back to your brokerage doesn't give you anything in terms of a base pay, benefits, you know, things like that, retirement contributions. There also may be certain office supplies you have to provide. Now, I'm lucky with my brokerage, I get a few things, but you know, if I need staples, or if I need, you know, paper, or if I need, you know, ink for my printer, that's on me. You know, I'm basically a business, so I have my own business expenses. So yeah, so
And
that's
it's
what it comes down
taking
to. It's
you
not near as much as you think.
and it's taking you 100 days to get $1,800.
On average, yep. My best record right now is 2 years. I worked with over 2 years for someone.
Okay.
I've also worked for 9 months with
I just got
someone,
to
and
say, it
then
just seems like hardly seems worth it. Seems like you'd be better off just to go get a job. I mean, there's people whose
are you
paycheck, who's get who there are people that are getting there are people that are getting paychecks that $1,800 every 2 weeks, and there's
yeah.
probably some jobs where you're actually getting $1,800 a week.
Yeah. Now, some of you may go, you know, why would you ever do something like this? Well, because they're, you know, like I said, going back to the great American dream here, which is if you sell 15 houses in a month and you get 15 paychecks, and you know, what did I say, 1890? You know, 1890, because that's what I paid myself, times 15 closings. That's a $28,000 pay month you had a paycheck. So, you know, it can be very lucrative.
That's
It can be
better.
very lucrative.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's
Yeah.
like
So,
I.
yeah. And I will tell you, I won't lie. A 2% commission on a $300,000 house, at that split, that's on the low end. That's on the low end.
Okay.
You know, so if you sell a $400,000 house and maybe you're getting, you know, more than that. Like I said, I'm kind of keeping the numbers kind of vague, because that's part of this whole National Association of Realtors lawsuit, is that there's, you know, specific numbers that have to be given. Well, no, there's no numbers that have to be given. Everything's negotiable in the real estate transaction, but it's one of those situations where I kept the numbers kind of on the low end. So, you know, if you have a $500,000 house and you're getting 3%, and maybe you're on a higher split, maybe you're on a 90% split with your brokerage, the numbers are going to look a little different.
Okay.
So, you know, that's where it can start to look a little different down the road. My numbers were definitely on the very conservative low side. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, we're just real quick numbers. $500,000 house, if you're getting 3% commission, that's a $15,000 paycheck. If you're on a 90% split with your company, that's 13.5. If you take out 10% for your retirement, that's still 12,150, and then if you pay yourself 50% of that, that's a $6,075 paycheck. So that's the numbers look a little different, you know. So, but again, that's if that happens to be that percentage, at that split, you know, then the numbers look a little different. So, and then, you know, if you sell 10 houses, and your average commission check is 6,000, now you're getting $60,750 in 1 month. So it can be very lucrative, but you gotta hustle. You gotta hustle.
Okay.
So,
Hustle.
yeah.
Hustle.
And like you said, sometimes you're gonna have really nice commission checks, and other times you're not gonna have great commission checks at all, and they suck. And it happens. But again, it can be very lucrative. So I don't want to crap on our industry. I don't. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to say that there are times where the commission checks look very, very nice, and they look very, very lucrative, and other times they do not. And so I just like to shed a little bit of light on, you know, how realtors get paid. And it may not be as glamorous as you think. Or if you look at somebody going, oh, he made $50,000 this last year, this last month, you know, with the eight closings he had, it's like, yeah, because that person busted their behind, and they were probably working 6, 7 days a week, and probably putting in 12-hour days, and really working hard to make sure those 10 deals closed in 1 month.
Okay, wow. All right. Anything else you want to say about this? Any final thoughts?
I love our business.
Okay.
And one of the things that I love about our business is that your income can be at infinite levels. Like I said, there are guys that make $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 a year plus in this business. There are guys who make $50,000, $60,000 in a month. It can be a very lucrative business, but those guys are also, and girls are, working 10, 12 hour days. Sometimes they're working 6, 7 days a week. They're on the phone while they're on a plane to vacation. They're on a phone while they're traveling to their kids' soccer games. It's tiresome work. And there's a lot of effort that gets put in per paycheck that they've received, commission check that they've received. And so I just, you know, ask that to the outside looking in, for those of you who think we just opened doors and you know, just tour houses all day, are sadly mistaken. Please understand, we put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into our clients. And sometimes that financial reward is not as high as you think it is. And I promise you that we're not out here living the life of luxury and, you know, driving Mercedes and things like that, or Vipers, or, you know, Dodge Chargers, like the movies and the TV shows, you know, want to have us believe. Are there some agents who are successful and do have some of those higher end things? Yeah, I won't lie. There are. They also work incredibly hard to earn that lifestyle. And I just ask that, you know, you recognize the amount of time, the amount of effort, and the amount of hard work we're putting in to get our clients to the closing table.
Okay. All right, Jason. Well, thank you for clearing that up and answering everybody's questions about it. So, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, getting, you know, buying or selling, and you're going, oh, man, there's just realtors, they take so much, and I, you know, that's just crazy, blah, blah, blah. I hope that you're coming away now with a better understanding of it. That was the whole point of this. Jason is standing by to be your real estate advisor, whether you're buying or selling, whatever you have coming on, even if you think it's a little bit down the road in the future, he's in it for the long term, and he wants to work with you. You can reach out to Jason at 412-651-4638, or that is a text or call number, or you can email Jason at jason.wilcox@pittsburghmoves.com. All right, everyone, thank you so much for hanging out today. We'll catch everybody on the next Really Real Real Estate Podcast.